Welcome to Educate to Self-Regulate, a podcast for educational leaders, teachers, and students, where in less than 20 minutes, we unpack educational research to support you and your students to become better learners.
Hi, Rory. Hey, welcome back for another fantastic episode of Educate to Self-Regulate.
Shyam, my friend. It's always great to hear your voice.
Mate, and I hear big news is on the horizon. Is it public knowledge?
It is public knowledge. Very exciting news. I have now officially got, I think, 9 days left of being a classroom teacher. I'm finishing up at my current school and going to work for an exciting company that have been in Australia for a year now. They're called StepLab, and they're an instructional coaching company. So I'm going to be a coaching development lead for them. The first coaching development lead in Australia.
Mate, congratulations. That's very, very exciting. I have to admit, I'm no doubt Melbourne Girls Grammar will miss you. It's a huge loss to the classroom. But I feel like in this new role, you'll be influencing and supporting teachers in their practice across Australia and perhaps internationally. And how fantastic for all the students in their classrooms. So, you know, in terms of impact, I can only imagine that you'll have an even bigger impact in education in this new role.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I managed to go to a few of their, they ran a few professional learning days last week. So I got to go and meet some people that I'll be working with from the UK and Australia. Actually, a podcasting competitor of ours, Ollie Lovell, is the director at StepLab Australia. So I'll getting to work with him, which is exciting because he's obviously someone who's doing a lot of great work in the education field in Australia. So there'll be lots of learning to take place for me, which will be outstanding. I'm very excited to get going. How's things on your end?
Mate, well, I'm excited to hear about your new work as it rolls out and your new learning. You can bring it back into our podcast and share it with our listeners, which will be really exciting.
It'll put a new slant on the podcast, perhaps, and thinking about how self-regulated learning applies in the field of instructional coaching and developing coaches.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting for sure.
Yeah, that's true. You know, one of our strengths has been that, you know, we've had a practitioner on the ground bringing those stories, and now you're going to have different stories to bring to the table in the same way that I bring stories from classrooms, but through vicariously through the teachers that I work with. So speaking of which, I have what's news on my front is that I have two independent public workshops running over the next 2 days. So when people listen to this, I will have already run those workshops and hopefully be reporting back that they were fantastic and extremely successful. I have 7 schools registered for both days. I'm really excited about working with those schools to help them develop their understanding and knowledge of different evidence-informed practices for how to foster self-regulated learning. And on Wednesday, we'll be doing a deep dive into the science of motivation. So that's pretty exciting. And just to add to my, you know, slowly burgeoning workload here, I've got final edits for the book due to the editor tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So, you know, good news for our listeners is that book will be released in. And I feel like, you know, I've got a cover design now. It's feeling really close to the end, and it's very exciting. So can't wait to share it with you, Rory, and everyone else. So on that note, Rory, should we get into the good stuff?
Yes, let's do it. So our topic today, our focus is looking at one specific self-regulated learning strategy, a sort of general overarching strategy of self-questioning. We're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into what it actually is, and then talk about different ways and areas that it can be effective for students as we try to develop them as self-regulated learners. So I suppose my first question to you, Shyam, is what would, if you had to explain to someone what self-questioning is in terms of in a self-regulated learning framework, what would you say and why is it useful?
I would say that self-questioning is a metacognitive strategy. It's a metacognitive function, if you will. We have an internal conversation, and I say we in terms of humans and learners, we have an internal conversation, and that self-talk is influenced by a number of different things, one of which is the questions that we ask ourselves, which in this essence is called self-questioning. Now, we can ask ourselves questions in multiple ways and shapes and forms, but when it comes to self-regulated learning, we're really talking about questions that support us to engage in self-regulated learning. And really those three phases of self-regulated learning, which is planning, monitoring, and evaluating. And so, you know, in the planning phase, for example, a learner might ask themselves, what's my learning goal here? What is it that I want to learn? What strategies can I use to help me achieve that goal? In the monitoring phase of self-regulated learning, we can ask ourselves questions like, how am I going? Am I on track with my goal? Do I need to seek help? And in the evaluating phase, so the third phase, we might ask ourselves questions like, was I successful? What might I need to change in the future?
Would you say that asking yourself the right questions is one component of becoming more self-regulated, to ask yourself the right questions at the right stage of learning for the right time? And is then, correct me if I'm wrong, is then the action that you take off the back of those questions, or the decisions that you make off the back of those questions, that then becomes more self-regulated behavior if maybe you hadn't necessarily taken those steps before? So the questions then lead to a potential action. Would that be then considered a person becoming more self-regulated off the back of their self-questions?
Yeah, so yes, I would say that. The only thing I would clarify there, Rory, is that self-regulated learning, in the way that I think you're talking about it, is in the behavioral sense. But self-regulation can also occur at the internal cognitive level. And so while we might, as teachers, not see a change in behavior, if a change in thinking has occurred for the learner internally, well, that is still self-regulation. And so there just has to be some change as a result of the question, which I think is what you're getting at.
And I suppose, getting really granular, a person could ask themselves a question about a choice to make or not, and not make the choice because that's better for their learning, like choosing not to speak to a friend or choosing not to look at answers at the back of a book whenever they're working really hard on a problem. And not taking that action is actually making them more self-regulated, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. 100% that makes sense. And so, you know, in terms of, we were talking in episode 19 about the C framework. And self-question, from my perspective, really exists. If we think about wanting to promote self-questioning for a learner, I think this really relates to the exchanges. So if we think setting exchanges events was the C framework, yeah, and exchanges being the middle E there, was about our interactions with learners and how we can help promote self-regulated learning. Well, our exchanges directly influence the learner's self-questioning. Have you got an example for us, Rory, about how that might look?
Yes, because one thing that teachers all try to do is to support learners to become, to gain knowledge and become more effective in their classrooms. And I guess that can happen in two ways. You can do it through explicit teaching, but then it can also come about in the one-to-one conversations that you can have with a learner, you know, while they're doing a task or when you're giving feedback or something like that. And I think both are valid spots for prompting of self-questioning to support self-regulation. So I'll try and come up with an example for each. And, you know, as you give these great explanations, I'm always thinking about, well, what does that look like in my classroom at the ground level when you're teaching students of, in my case, it's 11, 12 years old. I suppose one example of how I use self-questioning in an explicit sort of whole class teaching scenario could be in supporting students to do problem solving in maths. So you're given a worded problem and you're trying to teach them a process to digest the information, make choices about what the right strategies could be, then to execute and carry out some mental computation and then check their answer. So we have a process, a four-step process for problem solving that we teach the students, and it's got four sections: understand, plan, solve, check. And we've got little mnemonics and stuff that we use to help them remember it, like ugly pirates scare children. So like that, so it helps them remember the different stages. But at each stage, we teach two self questions. So two things that the students will ask themselves at that stage to then support them to regulate their thinking and their learning and essentially become more effective problem solvers. So the understand section, we teach them to do things like ask themselves, what is the most important information? And they could highlight it or pick it out and write it down on the page. What is the goal? So what's the thing that they're trying to do as part of the problem? Like what they want, what's the end point? In the plan section, they might ask themselves questions like, what strategies do I need to use that could be useful in this instance? And what operations will I use as part of the problem solving? So do I need to multiply? Do I need to divide? Do I need to do more than one? And then if, for example, in the check section, do I have a strategy to check my calculations? And also, have I achieved the goal, which would prompt them to go back to the problem and make sure that they've actually answered what was asked? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And I'm curious, Rory, as you were talking, I was thinking that those types of questions or frameworks, I imagine, are pretty typical in classrooms. But what is it that's unique about your practice or the practice of teaching it as a self-regulated learning strategy? That takes it that level up?
Yeah, it's the emphasis on the asking the questions and metacognitively modeling asking the questions to yourself as you're instructing the method. And then you can provide a template to the students, so a page divided into quarters, and it's got each of the sections and the questions are on it. But then as they get more effective in using the model, you can feed the questions out and prompt them on, oh, what questions do you need to ask yourself at this stage?
Yeah, amazing. So a bit of a gradual release of responsibility type approach.
Yeah. So you're mixing in your instructional strategies with your knowledge of self-regulated learning to combine them together.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And I think that fits really nicely with the C framework because I remember in the C framework, in the exchanges, there's prompting. So metacognitive prompting, which is exactly what you're talking. There's obviously explicit instruction. So in this case, you're explicitly teaching the self questions and then gradually releasing that to learners to be able to independently activate those questions themselves in their navigation of a learning process.
I can, there's loads of other examples. Like, we can just go through a couple quickly of where, prompting can kind of be used in different contexts. I think teachers do it a lot in literacy, and there is a bit of research, there's quite a substantial amount of research around self-questioning or questioning as a comprehension strategy in reading. And we're not going to delve into that right now, but, one thing that will often happen when you're reading text with the students is they'll come across different words or phrases that they don't actually know. And when they get to the word, if you ask, oh, do you know what that means? They might say no. And in many of those instances, I will then tell either the student or a group of people, okay, let's practice asking ourselves some questions to see if we can find information in our long-term memory that might help us kind of attribute meaning to this unfamiliar word. Yeah. And, that might be asking themselves, if it was a 2 or 3 word phrase, do you know what this means? Do I know what this means? Do I know what that means? If I had to make a prediction around what this phrase means together, what would that be? And so that step-by-step process of thinking, which is prompted by self-questions, will oftentimes lead students to a definition that might not necessarily be entirely correct, but it's a whole lot closer to correct than, oh, I don't know what it is and I'm going to move on.
Yes.
Which is sometimes what students will accept as it's not even a strategy because they're not actually even doing any thinking.
It almost sounds like there's, as we were talking, there's different types of self-questions. There's self-questions that prompt us through processes like planning, monitoring, and evaluating our learning. And then there's questions in the way that you're talking about that almost act as criteria or self-checking criteria to help us engage in a deeper level of thinking about a certain word or a certain concept. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. And just as you're saying that, another example that I would often use in my classes, if we're doing a paragraph of writing, there will be a specific focus. It could be using show, don't tell to be descriptive, or it might be if we're focused on a particular type of sentence structure, like in this paragraph, I want you to start at least 2 sentences with a dependent clause followed by an independent clause separated by a comma, so that a complex sentence. And so after they have finished that piece of writing, I will often put prompting self-questions on the board as a prompt to get them to think about the 3 criteria that we would have outlined as successful, in what the paragraph would need to have in order to be successful. So when they're editing, They're just not thinking, oh, is this paragraph good? Have I made any mistakes? They're being prompted to think about three specific things that we've addressed as required in order for the writing to be good, in inverted commas. And I think that's really helpful because, as you said, it's questions that relate to a criteria, that relate to a deeper level of thinking. And then ultimately, those students will just hopefully we can get them to a stage of transfer where they're transferring that self-evaluation to do with writing to other areas of their learning. And that's kind of, that's the mecca for us.
All right.
Yeah.
And as you said, right, those questions, while there's self-evaluation, sorry, while there's self-questions in a very specific context, they're acting as a self-evaluation mechanism. So that's what fits them under that self-regulated learning, planning, monitoring, and evaluating kind of structure, is that they are helping a learner self-evaluate so that they can set goals or at least make decisions about whether they need help and therefore self-regulate.
Awesome. The cycle continues.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the prompt for our listeners is to think about what self-questions might exist in classrooms. Can we make them more explicit for our learners? So, you know, take them from the frameworks where we really are prompting them to, and in the way that you were saying, you know, almost staged release, that gradual release model, I think is really nice. And I picked up on something you said, Rory, which is, you know, let's try asking ourselves some questions as a prompt to kind of get students asking themselves some questions. You might even do a generative activity where you might ask the students, what questions might we ask ourselves before we engage in this activity to help us prepare for this learning? And so there's a range of entry points depending on where you're at in your own teaching and learning journey. Okay. On that note, Rory, it's time for On the Reg. Mate, what are you currently regulating?
I feel like I use a lot of exercise examples in On the Reg, but I have got another one that is related to exercise. So I'm currently training for an ultra marathon, and I did 24 kilometers yesterday morning. And because I'm running such long distances now, I'm wearing a vest with bottles of maltodextrin, it's called. It's like powdered carbohydrate, essentially. And so when my coach has told me I need to drink roughly 100 milliliters of this every 15 minutes, and that will sustain my body with the energy that I need in order to keep going ultimately to 60 kilometers in the middle of May. But as I was monitoring my fluid intake as I was running yesterday, I noticed that I was getting distracted listening to podcasts or, you know, just daydreaming, that I wasn't drinking every 15 minutes. And sometimes I couldn't remember when the last time I took a drink was, and, you know, maybe half an hour went by, and I would like to, that was a problem I would like to solve. And so I was thinking about, well, how can I regulate my fluid intake in a way that I don't really need to think about it? So I'm using my Garmin to program my workouts and track my running. And so I'm going to try and have another simple, like Casio watch on the other wrist, that I'm going to set an alarm for every 15 minutes so that whenever that goes off, it reminds me to drink. So I don't know if it's a true on the reg, but I feel like as I was running, I found a problem. I considered a way to fix that problem. And this is the theory that I've come up with. If anyone knows that your Garmin can also do an alarm while it is tracking a workout, please contact me on social media and let me know, because I would prefer to not have two watches whenever I'm running. But I'm yet to work out if it has that function.
Mine's
what about you?
A little bit more connected to self-questioning. I, you know, as part of my journaling kind of program right now, and I'm not sure if I've shared this question before, but I had a conversation with Victor Purton, who's the CEO of the Centre for Optimism in Victoria. Maybe COO, Chief Optimism Officer, I'm not sure.
He's the head honcho.
Yeah, anyhow, he's lovely, and he shared a strategy with me, which was a simple question, which is asking yourself, what is the best thing that has happened today? And I find myself, you know, really constantly coming back to that question to help me oppose the negativity bias of my brain, but also just to wire in a more kind of positive and productive form of thinking. And so, you know, at the end of every day, I just ask myself the question. I try and journal on it, but if I don't, I just ask myself the question, what is the best thing that has happened today? And perhaps that's a simple question for our listeners to reflect on maybe when they jump off this podcast.
The beauty of that question is that It's what is the best thing that happened today. So you have to think of multiple examples of good things that happened. So it's not just like, tell me one good thing. It is what is the best. So you're thinking about all of the good things that happens and then to rate them in order of which is in fact the best.
Yeah. And that act of acknowledging multiple good things hopefully shifts that pattern to just focus on that one negative thing that might just be standing out in your mind.
I'm going to have to build that into my nighttime routine. And I'm going to encourage my wife to do the same. Maybe we can talk about it together.
Yeah. Well, Rhiannon and I definitely do that. We often will ask each other, what are you grateful for? What three things are you grateful for today? Yeah. And I think this is just a different form of a gratitude question in some way, shape, or form.
Beautiful.
Mate, always a pleasure. We will talk soon.
If you are a new listener to the podcast, make sure you share it with friends, save it, or subscribe. If you have any questions, and we really want to hear from our listeners, if you have any questions or comments, send us a DM through either of our social media channels, which is Twitter and Instagram, @ed2selfreg. As always, to you and everyone else out there, keep regulating.